Hey guys, I'm recording this after the main segment, and Ed has no idea it's happening, and is actually, like, right now, is hearing it for the very first time with you. So, I might get a text, and if you could just text them and tell them that you appreciated that Adam jumped in here to give you more musicals. That's right, I'm going to give you some musicals that we missed in the main segment to listen to, and you deeply appreciated it. Go ahead and do that for me. But for now, let's get into it. I hope you have a notepad ready, because I'm going to name a lot of them. Number one, let's talk about a chorus line. A chorus line is a beautiful representation of actors and actresses that are struggling and aspiring to be on Broadway. It's a very, very good representation. It's something you should listen to, so go back and find it on your Spotify or wherever you listen to music. Number two is going to be Cabaret. If you haven't heard Liza Minnelli singing Maybe This Time, then you are missing out on something very important in life and on Broadway. Go and do that right now. Number three is going to be Come From Away. It's a beautiful, beautiful story of the events of 9/11 from the perspective of a plane that got grounded in Canada. As an a very unique sound that you won't hear anywhere else on Broadway. Get your tissues ready. This is something special. Number four is going to be Six. Six kicks ass for two reasons. One, they kick it Spice Girl style. Number two, representation. They kick this asinine trend of tiny, tiny, tiny women having to play the leads on Broadway shows and get some beautiful body representation and also like diversity amongst their cast. This is a trend that I hope to see continue on Broadway, and there's just not enough of. Fuck it, man. If you have the talent, I want to see you up there. Why? Yeah, don't get me started. I don't have time for that in a cold open. Speaking of diversity and representation on Broadway, avoid Mrs. Doubtfire when it comes out. Now, I have no doubt there's many people that have worked very hard on it, and I don't doubt that it's going to have a great soundtrack, and there's going to be some catchy bits, and you may want to go see it. But the fact of the matter is that it's a white cisgender male dressing up as a female and stealing that role from a woman that could have that spotlight on Broadway. We need to get away from this trend of having white cisgender men consistently stealing the spotlight from somebody else that deserves it. Mrs. Doubtfire feeds into a disturbing trend that started with Tootsie and will continue if we continue to support shows like this. Please go find something else to support. Support Hamilton, support Six, support shows that take chances in representation. There's a play going on Broadway right now called Passover that you should check out and educate. You can watch it on Amazon Prime. And now I'm on my soapbox, and I desperately need to step off it. So I'm going to step off it, and I'm going to let Ben Dumb's sweet, 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 sweet voice carry you right into the beginning of the episode. And one last time, I'm sorry, Ed.
Welcome back to the greatest song ever sung poorly. It's a karaoke podcast that is the direct result, the direct result of when boredom meets fandom. I'm your not quite nominated for Tony for best leading actor, Adam Wainwright.
And surprising no one, I am playing Swing, and I am Ed Kennard.
Yes, Ed. Everybody needs to play Swing. It's an important role in the show. Well, welcome back, Ed. I don't know why I'm welcoming you back. This is our damn podcast, but like, welcome back. How are you feeling?
Good. I mean, you know me. I love our semi-regularly scheduled internet dates.
Oh, yeah. So do I. I need a little something every now and then on Tuesday nights. You know what I mean? Wink.
Wink, wink. Nudge, nudge. Say no more.
Oh, the nudge, nudge is what gets you. So what have you been up to, Ed? How are you living? Tell me, just tell me about your life just a little bit.
Well, I'd say I've been living in mansions and Benzes, but that's not actually accurate. I mean, I got a new work computer. That's kind of exciting.
So you're getting ends from your friends is what you're saying.
And I feel stupendous.
Yeah, good. Yeah.
What about you, man?
I'm feeling good, man. I don't know. I had a great weekend this weekend. We did some, like, Courtney and I did some adventurous things a little bit. We ventured to a part of Queens I'd never been to before. We went to the Queens Night Market, which is out in the park, out where the Mets play baseball, way off of the 7 train down that way. And it was just a cool experience. Like, that entire park's wild, seeing, you know, where the U.S. Open's played. I rode a motorized scooter for the first time. I rented one in the
city. Fantastic.
Yeah. It was cool. It made me feel like a badass, Ed.
A motorized scooter.
A motorized scooter, yeah.
Well, you are starting from a very low bar, so I mean, that's fine.
I'm starting from, I've never ridden anything like that. You have to understand, with my upbringing, I never rode like a dirt bike or anything. I've never been on a motorcycle.
Oh, I just assumed that you, like, you grew up in the sticks of Western Pennsylvania. I assumed you were like a four-wheeler kid or something. I have no idea.
Yeah, no, I was never a four-wheeler kid. That was never my bag, my family's bag. Like, I grew up around those people, and I'm friends with a lot of people that do that. But, like, I just never found myself in that situation. So, for me, getting on one of those, like, motorized scooters that everybody makes deliveries on in New York City, like, made me feel, like, rad. Like, getting up the 30, you know, on the open road and taking it 2 miles to the park. Like,
nice.
Yeah. Yeah, that's tough, guys.
And more stuff. I mean, despite like all these variant outbreaks, more stuff's opening up in New York. I see the Broadway theaters are opening back up.
Yeah, the Broadway theaters are on their way. I think they really dive in September. But I think I know where you're going with this, Ed. I think you're trying to cue us in or ease us into what our topic is for this week. Am I correct?
Yeah, man. I mean, if you're here and you're listening with us, it's all show tunes this week, baby. All show tunes.
Yeah, so if you're not into it, turn it off, or don't turn it off and just listen to us talk about show tunes, because guess what, guys? I love show tunes.
I love show tunes.
Love show tunes. I think we differ a little bit with what some of our favorites are, though, so we should get into some shit right now.
I mean, I joke a lot about our age gap difference, but you're actually closer to my age than I sometimes remember. Mm-hmm. But I, when it comes down to this stuff, like, I am old Broadway, and you are, you know, the new young hip kids on the scene.
Ed, I'm looking forward to challenging that statement over the course of the day with you.
Okay.
I think I may know more old Broadway shows and tunes than you do, because I do love me some golden age of Broadway. I love me, like, because, well, let's talk about, let's give ourselves some cred right off the top and talk about why I love me some golden age of Broadway. And yes, I love the new shows. Like, I'm up to date with everything that's going on. I love the evolution of the sound. I love how diversity is increased with this evolution of the sound. Like, there's a lot of really good shit that's going on Broadway right now. And the reason I love the golden age of Broadway is a very, very, very selfish reason. It's because when we're talking about my baritone having ass, if you're talking about the best roles for somebody with my singing voice, they all are from that golden age of Broadway. Those are leads that I can play. I can't be Evan Hansen. Can't sing Aaron Burr. Can I sing the shit out of the Frenchman in South Pacific? You damn right I can. Can I sing any role in My Fair Lady? Yep. Is Camelot any role in that? One of my dream roles? Oh yeah, King Arthur, boom, number one with a bullet right there. So yeah, I love me some golden age of Broadway, and I need to know your credentials right now. Why is it the golden age for you, and don't play the age card for me?
No, yeah, that's what I was gonna say. It's not just the age card. I mean, the music I grew up with, my grandmother was in the music industry, so like I grew up with jazz and show tunes. That's like my core competency. When it comes down to it, the music I know best are the music and lyrics of, you know, Rodgers and Hart. I'm that much of a snob that I specify Rodgers and Hart, not Rodgers and Hammerstein. Cole Porter. That's my absolute happy place. Just for me, just personally, not like things I want to perform, because I don't really do that. But like, there's a point for me where like, I kind of stopped going along with the new stuff. So I'm hoping you can bring in that perspective, because like Dear Evan Hansen, I know nothing from it. I wouldn't know any Hamilton unless you hadn't subjected me to it. My actual competency stops around Rent and Avenue Q. That's about when I fell off.
Okay. Yeah, you're damn near 20 years behind at this point with those two shows. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, we can talk a little bit about that and we can get into it. And I think it's great because you know, you talk about one of my grandmothers was really my entry into musical theater too, or at least, you know, soundtracks and show tunes. You know, my mom loved it. She was in shows when she was, you know, in high school and younger. She was in Damn Yankees specifically. I think she played Lola in Damn Yankees when she was in high school with her friend Joel. Randomly, if my mom's still listening to this, I don't really know at this point, but my grandmother used to have records, and that's what she would play whenever I go over visit. Now my grandmother died when I was very young on that side, but her record collection was there. You know, we're talking about Music Man, we're talking about My Fair Lady, we're talking about Fiddler on the Roof, we're talking about South Pacific, and these are the things that I would listen to when I went over to my grandmother's house. And my mother was clearly passionate about it, even though she got away from acting. So it was just like, don't know, it was in my blood on that side of the family to kind of fall in love with this.
Sounds to me like you're not new to it. You're true to it, man.
Yeah, something like that. But, you know, since we are a karaoke podcast, Ed, I think we should talk about a little bit the question that, you know, exists at the top of everybody's mind, or at least everybody that's listening to this podcast and knows that this is the topic's mind, is Broadway at karaoke, or show tunes specifically, do you love it or hate it?
I mean, I know it's a very divisive issue. If you ask people, you'll get a lot of different answers, but I love it, man. I love it. I like the big, showy, bombastic performances that you get if someone's doing All That Jazz, or if somebody's doing Hey Big Spender. That's another fun one. I don't see that at karaoke enough.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I mean, our personal shared classic favorite, If I Were a Rich Man.
That is. I will never get tired of doing that. One day I strived. I can grow. I think I can grow an adequate beard to play Tevye one day. I just am waiting to age into the part.
You're allowed to grow a beard now. So, I mean,
I am allowed to grow a beard. Yes. Like now. Yeah. Yeah. It feels good to be able to go. And I love to play that role. Fiddler on the Roof's one of my favorites. When, you know, Courtney and I get married at some point in the future, I've already told her I don't care about anything about the wedding. I will contribute. I will make my opinions known, but I don't have anything that I deeply want other than the first song, the mother son dance at the wedding is going to be Sunrise and Set. That's the only thing that I have planned for my wedding. Listen, show tunes of karaoke. It depends. I don't know, man. It depends. I love it. Obviously, you know, I think we're not going to like argue much about the fact that we love it, but they're tough. Sometimes they're tough on the different nights and stuff like that. And there's not, they don't all play well either.
Oh, they definitely don't all play well. I think the real crux is, are you singing for yourself or are you singing for the crowd? Both are valid, you know, ways to approach karaoke. I mean, especially, I mean, private room karaoke, you're obviously just singing for yourselves. But I mean, you are afforded your time on the stage, whether you're a great singer or a terrible singer, whether you know, sing pop punk hits from the early 2000s or whether you sing on the street where you live for My Fair Lady.
That's a good tune.
Yeah,
that's a good tune. Now, private room karaoke is where we get into it. I love the group of like people I've met in New York through Courtney, because they're all like really into show tunes. So when they do a private room karaoke, it's basically everybody just gets up there and sings show tunes for 2 hours or whatever it may be.
So. I mean, my first time doing private room karaoke is when you and I rented that box for 3 hours and kind of ran out of stuff to do. So we just literally ran through like an entire Broadway catalog.
Yeah, it's funny too, because a lot of times with those private rooms, you can find like shit from Broadway that you could never find anywhere else. Like even on YouTube, for some reason, it pops up in a lot of these private rooms that you'll be able to find like deep cuts from the Book of Mormon or something like that. Like, and just the wildest off the wall Broadway stuff, because I think like the thing with Broadway is sometimes I think it's more popular internationally than it is in America.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously there's some subsets of us that like it a lot.
Yeah, there's subsets, but I think just as a general rule, I would say it's still tourism. You know, it's what drives tourism in New York City, I think, more than anything else. Do you think it makes a difference if the song itself was sung by somebody that was established? So do you think that gives a credibility? Let me give you an example. So one of the famous songs that you recognize that you could hear at a karaoke night, or to a couple of them, we'll give you a couple examples. One would be from Funny Girl, Don't Rain on My Parade, which is a Barbra Streisand. Barbra Streisand played that role on Broadway. So, and the second one would be, I would say, Dreamgirls, you know, where you have Jennifer Holliday that originated the role and, you know, Jennifer Hudson that played it later. But, and I'm telling you, I'm not going. Do you think it makes a difference that these are people that are recognized, you know, both for their stage and for their individual music careers? Or do you think it's just kind of up to the audience that night?
That probably has an effect. I mean, everything always depends on the audience. I mean, you and I have been in bars that no matter how good you are, you're not going to really get away with Barbra Streisand, as you know, that's not the crowd. You also have to remember that we are now at the age where people who grew up watching Glee are actually at the bar. So people might not even know the Streisand version of Don't Rain on My Parade, but they probably know Lea Michele's from Glee.
This is true. You're not wrong.
I mean, Glee really did open up a lot of musical theater nerds, like just, you know, came out of nowhere from it. And honestly, I mean, I her stuff is fantastic. I really do like her voice. I mean, she did. Here's a piece of trivia for you, Adam. Did you know that Lea Michele started on Broadway as Little Cosette well before, you know, Glee and all of that?
Yes, I did, Ed. Yes, I did. The second thing, a little piece of trivia. Do you know what original Broadway cast recording made her famous? And do you know the co-stars that were also on Glee playing significant roles in that musical that that kind of joined her on
Glee? Oh, God, no. I have no idea.
So Lea Michele made her like Broadway smash and what put her on the radar for Glee for she originated the lead female in Spring Awakening.
Oh, that is one of your all time favorites.
The person who played the original, like the lead male in that Melchior Gabor was Jonathan Groff, who was on Glee and later came around to, you know, playing the good old King George in Hamilton, which won him a Tony for best supporting.
So basically, Adam, what I'm getting is you know a lot of Broadway trivia.
I know some Broadway trivia. I feel like I'm going to get challenged.
Feel like I owe you a challenge after my crash and burn last week.
Yep, I knew
this was coming. Adam, what I have done, and in fairness, before this conversation, I really didn't know you knew old Broadway stuff. So most of the focus is on stuff I think you might possibly know. I'm being kind here. I ask nothing older than the 70s.
Okay.
And one question is geography based, since you're, you know, new to the New York area and you've spent your time around. But everything else really does focus on, you know, the music and things like that. Five questions. Where do you think you're going to score?
I think I'm going to go solid three because this is going to be very interesting knowing that you know nothing about the area you're talking about and you put together questions for it.
Nothing about the area. Okay.
Nothing about the era that you're talking
era.
About.
Oh, no. I know some. I mean, no, I know some of it.
Okay. Yeah. Let's go. I'm hoping for three. Happy if I get one.
Question one has nothing to do with the actual musicals, and it has everything to do with Broadway itself. I mean,
oh, wow. Okay.
So, I mean, I'm not going to ask you where Broadway stops as a street, where Broadway Street stops, which is all the way up in Albany. It leaves New York City and goes all the way there. Yeah. But I know, you know, because you're a nerd that, you know, one of the things for what's considered a Broadway theater, isn't that it's located on Broadway. It's just, nope. You know, the amount of seats in the house.
Yeah.
But can you tell me the four theaters that are actually located on Broadway? If you get two of them, if you get three of them right, I'll give it to you.
That are actually located
on the street Broadway? Of Broadway in New York.
That is a wild question, Ed. Oh, shit.
I think this is the hardest one, and I'm starting.
That is by far the hardest question. I don't know if I can name of the ones that are on there. Shit.
There's one that you should definitely get.
Is it the Broadway Theater?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. There's another one
you should probably get.
Oh man, I'm trying to think.
I'm gonna say you probably have a memory of it somewhere.
Oh shit, Ed, I never paid attention to the geography up there. I could name a lot of the theaters that are just off Broadway because I've seen shows in them. I can't remember the name of the show that I saw King Kong in one of the theaters that I think is actually on Broadway. I think it's probably one of the largest theaters on Broadway is where I saw King Kong.
Where'd you see King Kong?
I can't remember.
Memory was I'll give you the rest of them. Memory was, I was trying to get you to think Cats, the Winter Garden Theater.
Okay. I have no memories of Cats. We'll talk about Cats later. I fucking hate Cats.
I'm ambivalent. There's also the Roundabout and the Marquee, but that's the four. Okay. Everything else is actually musical based.
Did you know that the Roundabout, I think the Roundabout Theater is nonprofit.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
That's one of the four nonprofit theaters in New York City. If you were to get into the details of what defines a Broadway theater or which ones are the nonprofit, and yeah, I could have done that.
All right, sure. We're going to just give you a zero for that. I mean, we'll give you point.
No, you can 0.25.
You got the Broadway theater. Sure. I mean, that was a gimme. Yeah. Which recent Broadway musical has an all-female creative team, meaning director, choreographer?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I think it's Waitress.
Correct. Ding, ding, ding. Good job. Which Stephen Sondheim musical is as old as I am, meaning it premiered in 1979?
Ooh. Sondheim. I want to go with, if it's not Into the Woods, which I'm going to go with, it's Company.
It was Sweeney Todd.
Sweeney Todd. Okay. Okay. There are a couple different directors to bring it with. Yeah. Sondheim's great. I love Sondheim, man. He does a great way. I don't know him enough to like get into the details. And I would guarantee you that Into the Woods and Company were probably released around the same time. I know Assassins came a little bit later.
Yeah. So the next two are the ones that I feel like might be gimmies for you. So you might win this. You might get your 3 points that you called. Which musical took the top spot in the 2017 Tony Awards?
Oh, 2017? That's a very specific... I think that was the Hamilton year, but I'm not 100% sure. I'll go Hamilton.
Hamilton was 2016.
Okay, wait. Okay. So
I'll give you a half point if you get it now.
Hamilton was 2016, 2017. So we're at 2016. So
no, 2017.
2017 was Dear Evan Hansen then. No, Dear Evan Hansen could be. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So you get a half point.
Okay.
So you're at 1.5.
Okay.
Here's the last one. I know this is going to be an easy one for you. What is Jean Valjean's prisoner number?
It's 24601.
Correct, sir.
Yeah.
2.5 out of 5. I mean,
you hit me with like the geography of Broadway, man. That's a brutal start to that question. Holy shit.
You hit me with Bare Naked Ladies. I feel like we are even.
No, I feel like Bare Naked Ladies is more accessible than what 4 theaters are on Broadway. Damn, son. All right, Ed. Okay, I think we're about even after our challenges then. I think we're about sitting equal on points. We're going to keep... Now I have to throw back at you next week. And
yeah.
Oh, man. We're going to have to see what I have to come sling at you. I have some ideas kicking around in my head. So we're gonna see what we can come up with. So let's throw it back here for a second. Do you prefer old school Broadway or contemporary Broadway?
If you would have asked me this a few years ago, I would have said old school.
What changed and why?
You.
Okay.
You've got me listening to more things that I otherwise wouldn't have listened to. Again, you know that I'm not the biggest Hamilton fan in the world. You played the Hamilton soundtrack incessantly for me when it came out. Then I finally watched it on Disney Plus when it was airing on that. And like, okay, in the context of a show, I now see that it works. So that's one of the things that helped bring me closer to up to date. I'm still not there. I mean, I love my classical, my classic Broadway stuff. I mean, I still haven't even seen Wicked, Adam, and I have a friend who was in it.
Yeah, that's fair. I haven't seen Wicked either. That's one of those shows I'm hoping to like eventually, like, I don't have a deep desire to see Wicked at this point. Just because I don't know, the music, the story is stale to me a little bit.
I do because I love Idina Menzel and Kristen Chenoweth so, so much.
Oh, I love them too, but they're not in it anymore.
I know.
Like, but the show Wicked itself is like,
That's true.
You they know. Sing good. I guess
sing good.
I don't know.
I've heard some really great people. I've heard people do a really great popular karaoke, bringing it back to the core concept of our show.
Of all the songs that could, like, from Wicked that people could do a decent version of, that is the most accessible song I think in that entire show. If you're not getting into like Dr. Dillamond or something like that,
at some point, I will beg and plead Jude to do popular for you, because okay, there Kristen Chenoweth is lights out.
Okay, as long as I can play Idina Menzel in there.
Okay, Ed,
so let's do this then. I'm gonna give you some musicals that I need you to listen to the soundtracks for. Okay, so, and this is goes for the audience too, listening audience. There are some things, if you want to get caught up on modern Broadway, I'm gonna try to hit you with an encapsulation of what I think modern Broadway is and what the best representation of modern Broadway is. Okay. The first one I'm gonna hit you with is, have you watched or listened to In the Heights yet?
No.
Okay, it's better. It's Lin-Manuel Miranda's like magnum opus, as far as I'm concerned. Like, Hamilton got all the acclaim, really put everything on the map. In the Heights was a Tony Award-winning musical like about 7 years before that. It's one of the best representations on Broadway. It was translated into a fantastic movie, and the music is better than Hamilton's music on a couple of different levels. It incorporates hip-hop, Latinx, like, it just has a lot of really strong roots. It's passionate. It's just something you need to hear. Because, I know you're not the biggest fan of Lin-Manuel Miranda, but he did a really great job of balancing both. Like, there's some really good kind of hip-hop based parts and references that are littered in there. But I think he did a much better job with like soaring like ballads and duets in the show, including the song Blackout that happens is the intermission song, is like a driving beat that you don't hear anywhere else on Broadway. Sure. So it's worth checking out. Go back and, if you have a chance to see the movie, they did a great job with the movie. Javier Muñoz, who portrayed the lead character on that, has been along with Lin-Manuel and all of his projects going back to 21 Jump Street, which is a musical that he wrote for PBS.
Okay.
Hadestown is another one that you need to listen to. This is one of the one that's on my
I think in particular, and I will place money on this, if you are going to get into the sound of a musical on Broadway right now, Hadestown is it.
I've heard nothing but good things about it, so sure.
Yeah, they're nothing but good things for a very particular reason, and for you in particular, and I'm catering this to you, my co-host on this ride, Hadestown is some shit that you dig.
Okay.
From track one. I challenge you is to go back and listen to track one of Hadestown.
Done deal.
If you're not hooked, then quit.
Okay.
Okay? Just so you guys know what I'm talking about, Ed's going to listen to this a little bit later. I'm giving you all a taste right now.
Once upon a time there was a railroad line. Don't ask where, brother, don't ask when. It was the road to hell. It was hard times. It was a world of gods and men.
You have to get on board with this. You really, really do. That I've never heard of that sound like before. That from that one track. Okay. Other ones that let's talk about something.
Give me one more.
One more. I will give you one more. Oh God, Ed, now you're gonna get me down to one more. I'm putting the pressure on 100 more. Can I give you a slept on genre of musical?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, hear me out now. I hate jukebox musicals.
Yes, you've said.
I want to put that out there again. I want to reinforce that. Yeah, I'm not wrong. We can argue about that, and you will lose that argument. I hate jukebox musicals. One thing that I've noticed that is an unbelievable trend that I can't believe continues to happen is movie adaptations of musicals. There are a lot of really, really good ones out there. Groundhog Day, for those PA people in Western PA, if you're listening to this right now and you haven't heard the Groundhog Day musical, you're wrong.
I mean, to misquote Sir Mix-a-Lot, what's up, Punxsutawney? What's up? What's up, Punxsutawney? What's up?
Yeah. Shout out to Punxsutawney and your little groundhog thing. But okay. Groundhog Day in particular has one of the other best intermission songs I've ever heard that I listen to on repeat constantly called One Day. Is one of the best female solo like intermission numbers of all time that paints a realistic version of females. The other one that really I wanted to bring up as far as this goes is High Fidelity, the musical.
Okay. Love the book. Really, love the movie. Love the Hulu series.
Yeah. No, you would love the musical then. They did a great job sticking true to the original content, but also like weaving in so many different musical genres and getting Bruce Springsteen, like a Bruce Springsteen character involved in there, where he actually has a duet with the boss. Say Goodbye and Good Luck is crazy. The Addams Family musical is great. American Psycho has a musical that is
naming
like
so many musicals.
Man. I know. I'm just naming some musicals right
I'm
now.
I'm gonna cut you off.
That's fair
because I've got some things I need from you.
Okay, what do you need from me? Because I was going to say American Psycho has a different sound that you would not normally hear on a Broadway stage, and that's another one you should just listen to just to hear what they do with that show.
Okay.
Continue. Go ahead. Sorry.
I will tell you that there is a jukebox musical that you like that you didn't even know was a jukebox musical.
Ooh, I would probably challenge that if I can.
It's a film musical. Never been on stage. Or maybe it was after the fact. I don't know.
You're talking about Rocky Horror Picture Show, aren't you?
No. Gosh, no, I'm no.
What are you talking about?
Singing in the Rain is technically a jukebox musical.
Okay.
It was cobbled together with songs that had existed like well before it. Songs that the studio had the rights to.
But that's fair. But I think there's a difference between a jukebox. Like, okay, let me redefine what I mean by jukebox musical then, if we're going to go this direction. Million Dollar Quartet's a good musical because it combines the music of three different musical artists. And I can get behind something like that. That's something along the lines of Singing in the Rain does. What I have a problem with is musicals like Jagged Little Pill, which take an entire, just one album, take all their music and try to loosely tie together them together in a narrative. They did the same thing with the music of The Temptations. They did the same thing with American Idiot. They did the same thing with Moving Out. But at least Moving Out knew what it was and kind of did vignettes for each one of them and didn't try to tie together cohesive plot between them, because
so basically
Jagged Little Pill's a nightmare.
So basically they're kicking back to like the Busby Berkeley musicals of the 20s and 30s, where it's just like loosely put together with a song catalog that they have.
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Also, Big Fish is another movie musical that I love dearly and want to play. Sorry.
I think if we ever do merch, I'm going to make a shirt that says Adam, stop naming musicals. And that'll just be the shirt. I might just make it just for myself.
Oh, if you missed it, by the way, Beetlejuice was on Broadway about 2 years ago. And it is
that one I
unbelievable.
Knew. That one I
it's
knew.
An unbelievable musical. Yeah. Oh, The Wedding Singer has a really good musical adaptation. Sorry, I'm on a roll now.
Yeah.
Okay, I need to stop. I understand. I get it. You get it. Moulin Rouge was also great on Broadway. I only have,
you know what? I'm just going to have one ask now. One ask. And you know what I'm asking.
What are you asking?
Just fucking watch Kiss Me, Kate, Adam.
Okay, that's fair.
Okay, one of Cole Porter's later musicals. Fantastic songbook. You love Shakespeare. It's got the whole Taming of the Shrew connection.
I know it does. The
movie version has a beautiful Bob Fosse choreographed dance.
Oh, is that the one with Brush Up Your Shakespeare?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes, I love that too.
Yes, you absolutely, just promise me you'll watch that. That's the only thing I'm going to ask from you.
All right.
You know older stuff better than I realized. Please just watch that one.
I'll see if I can find it. Yeah. Okay. I will see if I can find it. We'll get into it. So I can continue to find stuff that I can flip and do a karaoke. Cause you know, I'm always looking for another right. Broadway musical to do a karaoke. Ed, what's your favorite performance that I've done of a Broadway song at karaoke? I've got a couple for you.
The sad thing is no one saw it. Cause it was really dead that night. But when you got your Dream Girls on, I was so impressed.
Yeah, that was a good old lowering of the key there. I still love when anytime you bust out your Sweet Transvestite, Ed. Like, I like doing that tune, but you are just, you're my Sweet Transvestite.
Well, thank you, Adam. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
You know who else would probably really like Kiss Me, Kate? You know, with all the connections to Shakespeare and the musical theater and you know that.
Oh, it's probably my friend Dana Babel, who happens to be our guest today on the show.
You are correct.
Oh, I am. Ed, do you think we should talk to him now and shut up?
Yeah, please do. Please do.
Okay, how about we just go ahead and cue the guitar and move on to the next one? Next guest is bringing Broadway to the masses in a very unique way with the term I've dubbed concert karaoke. Born out of a love for musical theater and Hamilton, his shows are nonstop and full of life. Please welcome to the show, Dana Babel. Dana, how are you this evening? It's so good to see your face.
I am doing great. It is great to see your face and hear your voice and hear your sweet voice and Ed's, can we call it sour voice?
That sounds more accurate, yeah.
Yeah, that sounds very fair, actually. Yeah, I'm gonna look at it that way from now on. Sweet and sour, Ed. That
sweet and sour, yes. Probably the original name for Penn and Teller, but I'm sure you guys can have it now.
Yeah, we're going to take it back. Penn and Teller have their own thing. We're just going to try to reclaim sweet and sour. But... Dana, thank you so much for doing this. We're really excited to talk to you today for this very unique thing that you started years ago. Could you just give us a kind of a brief overview of what Nonstop Broadway is?
Sure. Nonstop Broadway is what it sounds like, especially considering what podcast we're on. It is Broadway karaoke. In the simplest form is Broadway karaoke. We also like to call them sing-along shows to some degree, because that is rapidly what it turns into, as so many karaoke shows do, but especially these ones. The audience is certainly participating throughout the show. And that can be shows that are more karaoke style, where it is a limited song list to Broadway, or in some cases even more narrow. Maybe we say for one day, you know, we're doing just a few different shows, or maybe even just it's a Disney night or something. And that's not just for kids. But also we have shows where we just do straight up one entire musical, or we might maybe highlights from two or three musicals. So we started with just Hamilton Nights. The entire soundtrack, no stopping other than for intermission, nonstop, roll straight through, and that is a lot of parts. and it rolls. So we end up with a lot more singers than a traditional karaoke show would, and also a lot more people who are not there to sing. They're just there to watch and enjoy and have a good time.
How many parts are in Hamilton, Dana?
Well, the way we have it broken down, you knew that I would have this answer. The way we've broken down Hamilton, we have squished a few bits together so that you don't have a part that maybe has one line because the character's barely in that role. So the way we squished it together, we have 122 parts in Hamilton. We usually try to split that between 38 to 40 singers so that all singers can get on stage at least three times, because that's how many singers we will have. And we have certainly done a number of shows where we run out. We haven't, sorry, we are sold out on singing parts. Come back and see us next time.
That's awesome. What got you into musical theater in the first place?
I don't know. I think I just, like a lot of kids, I got into it sort of in high school. I could not participate in the musical in high school because I did not have chorus in my schedule. And they were like, sorry, we don't want you because that's when we're going to rehearse. And I said, well, but I can sing. They said, we don't care. You can't. No, bye. Maybe if they had said yes, I wouldn't be doing this now. I don't know.
that's kind of wild that they just shut you down like that. I don't know if I've ever heard that. I know they sometimes go to like the chorus or choir and stuff like that and try to rope people into the musical, like the theater department, saying, well, you can sing, come audition for the play. But I don't know if I've ever heard of somebody being like, I want to be in the play, but no, you can't.
Yeah, in Johnstown High School in the 90s, the very early 90s or late 80s, that was the rehearsal time. Might as well get your song rehearsal in during chorus.
If it makes you feel any better, a guy that I went to high school with who was judged not good enough to be in our show choir ended up being on Broadway and in the touring company of Wicked. So maybe
so a little revenge there.
Yeah.
maybe.
So Dana, I've known you for it's going on quite a few years now. I've quite had a few the pleasure.
Years. Well, I would say that the official day that I officially met you was the very first Nonstop Broadway show, which was in October of 2016. And I should say, I've been into theater my entire life, but not always musicals. I am a crazy Shakespeare nerd for the most part, and that's, you know, kind of one of my main things. But yeah, we met, I seem to recall after having the first show we did where we thought, well, you know what? I want to sing some Hamilton with people. There's a few places in New York and LA that are doing this thing called Hamiltunes, where they sing some Hamilton together and we see how it goes and just have a good time. And I thought, well, we could do that here. And maybe I know 15 or 20 crazy theater people that will show up and sing some Hamilton with me. And it was something like 70 that showed up that first day in the park for a free show in the park singing. And then afterwards, a very tall gentleman came up and said, you know, I am a professional photographer with the U.S. Navy. I would love to take some photos of the show. I'd like to come and help out with the show. And what do you know? That was Mr. Adam Wainwright, and the rest is history.
Yeah, there's a lot of history there too with the show, with like you being the wonderful Shakespeare, you know, person that you are, pulled me into that world, and I've never looked back, and I'm looking forward to getting back into that world. But I also know, because I've known you for a little while now, we've had a chance to talk about this. You know, I've heard about some of the roles you've played and some of the roles you want to play in musical theater. I know, for example, you have played Don Quixote in Man of La Mancha.
I did, and that was a wonderful, wonderful show to do. I had so much fun doing that. I did not think they would think I was old enough to take the part. I didn't think that I would get cast there, but I was so overjoyed to do it. So glad to have that one knocked down and a role that I can hit again later someday. Although I think I might want to lose a few pounds. I'm more of a Pancho Villa right now than a Don Quixote.
Hey, it's something you can always revisit. Absolutely. I'm looking forward to revisiting Kent one day when I'm.
Yes.
Yes. That's one that's never going to go away if I want to revisit it. But what I'm getting at is I know like Sweeney Todd is a dream role of yours at some point. So yes. Between all these good roles that you have as dream roles and this musical catalog, you build up in your knowledge. Pick a favorite for us.
Oh, boy. I'm terrible at picking favorites. Sweeney Todd is definitely has to be up there. I've been in that show as Beetle Bamford, and I was the Sweeney Todd understudy, but this was not a show that the understudy's got a performance. So I just filled in occasionally when he wasn't available at a rehearsal. Sweeney is probably way, way up there. I am sure there's 100 more, but I'm gonna blank on you and be boring, and let's just stick with Sweeney Todd. You've already hit it. You hit it in one.
We try to get it in one.
And I guess since I'm the sour to Adam's sweet, it falls to me to ask, what is your... least favorite musical, Dana?
Oh, I don't know that I can and easily name that, but I'd say for the most part, I'm not a big fan of the jukebox musicals. That is a very, that's that. Those are not very good. Some, if it is built in the right way, it can be good, but so often it is difficult. Is it a difficult form? It is a difficult form already to say, you know, Ed, did you have a bad day? And Ed has to say, I did, and I'm going to tell you about it now. And starts to sing a song. It can be a little strained. And then try to stick a Britney Spears song in there. Oh, that's hard to do. It can be done well, but not often.
I don't believe you that it can be done well.
No?
I'm sure at this point in the episode, yeah, I don't think it can be done well. I'm right there with you. I'm not a big fan of jukebox musicals. I don't know if I've ever seen one done well. I got to see a chance to see Jagged Little Pill last year. Or two okay. years ago, or however long it was. That's as big, critically acclaimed, everybody's dying to see it one. I still don't think it was done well. I think there was a standout performance in there. I think there was one of the best standout numbers that I've ever seen on a stage. But I think the musical itself was a train wreck because they're trying to just jam a story to... You're making up a story to tie all these things loosely together, and it just gets so convoluted. I agree.
And to some degree, I think they might be better off doing something slightly more in the direction of Billy Joel's Moving Out, where it was just, there was a band up there and then there's a bunch of dancers here. Now, that show wasn't exactly that, but it was a lot of it was in that direction. And in that case, we just, let's just admit that it's a little awkward and just lean into that.
Yeah, leading into it's always a good thing. So I'm going to bring us back to the sweet side, and we're going to continue to play this up now. So I know the logistics of hosting a night like this for Nonstop Broadway, an event like you plan, are much different than a typical karaoke night. What kind of things go into planning and running an event like this that, you know, people may not think that are attending?
Sure. Well, I think we talked about a little bit of it already. We're dealing with 122 parts stretched across a ton of different characters. And you're dealing with maybe 35 to 40 singers who all want those key bits, those key parts to sing. They all want them. And how do you keep everybody happy and coming back for more down the line and not grumpy at the end of the day? And this went so far that occasionally we've done some days where we have a sellout show in the afternoon that is an all ages show. And then the exact same show for 18 plus in that same evening. And I try to escape those afternoon shows with no crying children and no parents wagging fingers in my face. Really, it's a matter of organizing and organizing and organizing some more. We have little song cards that literally say, this is the song. This is the part in the song that you have. It is now your little card. It even tells you what song is before that song, so you know you are ready to go up. And that is handed to you at the beginning of the day. Once your songs are selected, you have that little card. You can trade it. You can give it away. You can do what you want with it. And there is no confusion. Who's running up there to sing Angelica in the Skylar Sisters? Do you have the card? All right, there's no more argument now. It's done. And that became a real headache to figure out how do you get those cards and those songs selected to that many singers without a headache or an explosion of some kind. And that's when we actually developed the draft program to do that, our song selection draft, which we had a lovely gentleman, shout out to David Liu, who programmed a draft program for us, which is exactly what it sounds like. If you can imagine fantasy football, but for Broadway songs, that's what it is. Pick your top five picks. Actually, we asked for at least 15 picks. And then the draft program runs a serpentine draft, selects those parts for you, and you get what you get. You don't like it, come back and sing with us another time.
Yeah. Going along with that, I mean, you're in some pretty big venues now too.
Yes.
What's it like scheduling that versus maybe scheduling a more traditional karaoke night in a bar or similar environment?
It is a headache and it sucks. Because really it means I am fighting with renters and with booked events that are far larger and far better known than me. So finding the appropriate days that are available to get that booking is really challenging. And in some cases, I've got to do a rental with that venue. So a bar is not going to charge me a rental fee. to come and do something. And these are ticketed events generally. And that is usually a two-tiered ticket. There's a singing ticket, of which there's a limited limited quantity. And then there's a general ticket, or for Hamilton shows, we call them the Here Comes the General ticket. And that is an unlimited number because, hey, come along, sit there and sing through the whole show if you want to from the crowd. But yeah, we really got to fight to find our locations. Now, I have fortunately over time built some relationships, and we are our number one location that we're at here in Pittsburgh, which is where we're based out of, is the Hard Rock Cafe in Pittsburgh. And we're usually at the Hard Rock twice a month doing shows. But it is really challenging to get that going. You know, we are in a very large theater in Columbus. Well, actually, they have two different theaters in that complex. Sometimes we're in the 100-seat theater, and sometimes we're in the, actually don't know the number on that, I think the 200-seat theater. And that can be really challenging in some other venues we have that are large. It is hard to work out the details, and it can be very expensive, which is really challenging. And it would be so much easier sometimes if I could just find some bar that could give me one night a week to just let my crazy fun crowd come in. But no one's yet turned that over to me so far. We'll see what happens.
One day it will happen.
One day. Yeah. And on that same token, now I'm also doing my best to break into the college market as well, which is a different level of challenges. So I have had some success doing some shows at UPJ out in Johnstown there, some shows not on campus, but just barely off campus at State College, and some shows over on campus in Duquesne. So I'd like to expand that out more, and that's what I hope to be able to do, because every college you go to has some theater kids, or some kids growing up listening to Disney and all those things. There is an audience in every town for this, especially in college town.
You have a very structured way of you going about this. And, you know, this is an ongoing discussion from this episode is, you know, we're talking about, you know, Broadway and karaoke. That's what we do. We're a karaoke podcast, and I'm just a Broadway nerd. That's, you know, hosting a karaoke podcast is what it comes down to. So you've been to karaoke nights. What's your thoughts on people seeing Broadway at a traditional karaoke night?
I think it is no different than any other musical style that you guys have talked about in your other podcasts. As with all songs, or even if it's just tempo or style or whatever it is, know your crowd. Some crowds would love it. They're totally into it. Or if you can sell it, you can make that work. But if you can't, then don't go there. It's not the night for it. Unless it's like you guys, the No Shame crew over here, that can really, really sell it. If you're just a normal singer and you really want to bust out something from your favorite musical, whatever that may be, Wicked or Phantom of the Opera, if you really want to lean into it and sell it, do it. But know your crowd too. Pay attention. Look around. What's everybody else singing that night? What's everyone else enjoying it into? Do you think you're that singer that can really decide now is the moment to convince them that they need to hear this is the moment from Jekyll and Hyde? God bless you. Give it a shot if that's what you're into.
This sounds like the only times, like, well, I've been known to interject karaoke nights with If I Were a Rich Man, because I can sell the living shit out of that, and I can keep that as fun. But if I want to try something else on Broadway, and I like playing around with some stuff recently, I do it right at the beginning of a karaoke night. Get there right there before it gets busy. If they get started, the bar is still slow. That's your moment to expand, because that is, I sang, and I'm telling you, I'm not going from Dreamgirls one night at a karaoke night. Right as it got started, lowered the key. Didn't turn out as bad as you might think.
It was fantastic. And I mean, you know me, I'll throw in Sweet Transvestite or something from Chicago, or, you know.
And some of that material, yeah, that's the way to go. Most bars will enjoy a well-done Sweet Transvestite no matter what. I shouldn't say all.
And they'll enjoy you singing it too.
They will. Well, if you're dressed like Adam was the last time I saw him do it, you'll probably enjoy it very much.
I'll post that picture on Twitter just for everybody to really take it in. If you're listening to this right now, you can go to Twitter and see a picture of me dressed up as Frankenfurter for one of these nonstop nights.
We can always do who wore it better.
Ooh, we could do that. We're going to do that. We'll get a poll up on Twitter. Ed, do you have any other questions for Dana before we kind of like...
Well, I mean, I have some questions for Dana. I'm going to share them with you because I think it's time. I think it's time that we play our game with Dana, where we're going to ask him some quick fire questions, and he's going to give us some quick fire answers. What do you think, Adam?
I won't throw away my shot, Ed. That's how you do it, son.
Hit me.
All right. Dana, what's the best thing you've ever seen at karaoke or one of your nonstop Broadway nights?
All right. This is easy. It came right to me when I thought about this question. I had a feeling it was coming. In the early days, when I was young and foolish all of 5 years ago, because we were simply doing one musical straight through, I had my tracks, God bless me, on a CD.
Oh, my.
The crowd was, the singers were on stage, and they were singing the song nonstop, which I believe has five singers on stage, and the crowd is really pumping. I think we had 175 sellout in that bar that night. I believe that was at the Funhouse at Mr. Small's here in Pittsburgh. And it was the last song right before intermission, about midway through the song, the CD skipped and stopped. And the crowd and the singers on stage did not. They just rolled with it, went straight through the song. They did not give a shit. They just had a great time. Actually, I think it was probably better than if the CD had continued. We got through it. Fortunately, the second half was on a separate CD. And I thought, all right, I'm an idiot. I had better move to the laptop now. It's time.
That's good fantastic. Choice to the laptop. Yeah. But yeah, that's wonderful. That's a moment right there.
Now, I'm assuming you're not going to use your own stuff for this, but what is the worst thing you've ever seen at karaoke?
You know, I probably could find somewhere in my brain to use my own stuff if I had to on that. Honestly, the worst thing I see at karaoke happens a little too often. Well, there's really two levels. The one is obvious. We've all seen the drunken people at karaoke that take things too far, or that they're just bringing everybody else down. We don't fortunately get that too often at my shows. I'd more often see that at somebody else's, but it happens sometimes, and you do have to keep an eye for it. And as the guy running the show, like any karaoke DJ might have to, I got to try to keep an eye out for that. But secondarily, the thing I see at way too many karaoke shows, and it's really not the KJ's fault, is bad tracks. So many karaoke tracks sound terrible. I don't have a solution for that. A lot of them, especially the older ones, are working off of very old programming to try to synthesize all those instruments. They can't afford to bring a full band in to record those karaoke tracks. But it drives me nuts when there's some really, really bad tracks out there. Or for that matter, really, really bad EQing and balance levels. Oh, I can't stand it. It hurts my soul. I wasn't actually at this show, but I heard about a show that a friend went to. They had wireless microphones, which I said, wow, that's great. They had a ton of wireless microphones. They set them on a stand by the stage, and no one worked the soundboard the entire show. I wasn't even at that show, and I am wounded. I am hurt.
Ed and I were hurt just by hearing about that right there. Yeah.
Terrible.
It's a visceral reaction.
I asked my friend who was there, how did it sound? And, of course, terrible. Awful. What are you thinking?
There's no way that could have sounded good. Yeah. Well, speaking of karaoke tracks, how convenient. What's one song you would love to sing at karaoke or a Broadway night, and you've just never been able to find a good instrumental for it, or the instrumental at all?
I want to find more stuff personally from Come From Away, which is challenging because there are so many characters in almost every song. And this is a little bit more of a deep track. And I think you don't find karaoke tracks for this because no one liked this show particularly, which is Sting's show, The Last Ship, which I really enjoyed. And it does include a few Sting tracks. So now we are slightly getting into jukebox musical, but only a few tracks, probably just to make the publishers happy. Other than that, I really love that show. There aren't any tracks out there. Who's asking for that? Just me, apparently.
Probably. I don't think I've even heard of that one. So
exactly. It was here and gone.
So you're in a brand new place while traveling and you only have the chance to sing one song. What do you pick to make your mark?
Oh, that is tough. Now, if I am going to be like Adam is talking about and try to squeeze a karaoke track in there, I might very well go in the direction of Sweet Transvestite, or if we're going in the Hamilton direction, Hurricane. If we are fortunate enough to have a night where slow songs will work, and there's not a lot of nights where a slow song is happy at a normal karaoke place, Empty Chairs at Empty Tables, I love me some of that, but it is gotta be picked at the right moment. If we're not doing a karaoke track, I'm gonna go to Adam's Bane and I'm gonna sing some Beatles.
But you're much better at it than I am. Like, infinitely better at it than I am, Dana.
Well, that's okay. You can sing the Johnny Cash then.
Infinitely better. That works for me. So if you could magically strike one song from every karaoke playlist forever, what would it be?
Boy, I think you've had so many good answers for this and so many answers that were the same. I'll stick with one that's in my own arena, and that is the song Belle from Beauty and the Beast, which some people might know it as the provincial life song. Mm-hmm. It's a lovely little song for the person who's singing Belle. Maybe if you have some people being funny as Gaston and LeFou, maybe. But then there are like 85 other characters in that song asking about how many eggs you want. And oh my God, it's too long. There are too many characters, too few moments that are really nice in the song. Please pick a different song, people. Pretty please, pretty please.
Okay, that's Dana, you did great. That was fantastic. It's always good, you know, getting your perspective on things, learning about the Beatles. But you know how this works. Now you get a chance to hit, like, fire away. Give us something. You know, we solemnly swear that we're going to answer honestly, and karaoke related or not. I mean, yeah, go ahead and throw it at us.
All right, gentlemen, you have to help me out on this hypothetical. The Jim Henson Company, and I guess unfortunately now Disney, is producing a new Muppet movie, and it is Ed and Adam's karaoke movie. Which Muppets are portraying the two of you in the karaoke movie?
That's a good question.
It's fantastic. Based on looks alone, I feel like I'm Ernie and Adam's Bert. I mean, that is
really
what we look
like. I
don't
know if personality works that way, but that's pretty damn good.
Yeah, I mean, standing next to each other, we pretty much look exactly like that. If Ernie was bald, that would be what we would look like.
I mean, you could throw that at me from Avenue Q, too. I'd be perfectly fine. What are the names of the characters? They're not Bert and Ernie in Avenue Q.
No, it's very close. It's Rod and Nikki.
Nikki, that's right. I just want to sing My Girlfriend Who Lives in Canada at some point. Like, that's,
absolutely.
Yes.
But if I was going to pick my own for me, though, I think based off the personality that I have on here, it's probably, was it Sam the Eagle? Or one of the... Yes. Or one of Statler or Waldorf. I feel like those nice. Encapsulate me.
I would actually agree with that. Those encapsulate you pretty well with your personality that you've, you know, shown on here.
Amen.
I mean, I want to go like one or two directions. I really think Gonzo, you know, has always been a thing for me, and just the ridiculous daredevil that will tear off his, you know, cape. I think I'm more like Gonzo in the Muppets movie with Jason Segel, where he's trying to put on like the corporate suit as he's working at the toilet warehouse, and then gets coaxed back into, you know, being Gonzo the Great in the Daredevil. But
your
your
entire plan is to blow up the company should someone come calling with an appropriate karaoke song to sing.
There's a self-destruct button already ready, Dana.
I was going to say, I thought you were going to pick Fozzie, Adam.
I was going to go Fozzie. That was my other pick,
oh,
too.
Nice,
I feel like I'm very much a waka waka, especially with the questions. The funny jokes I tell on this podcast that Fozzie makes sense of.
That's where I was going.
Yep. Ed, you don't seem thrilled about the funny jokes. Dana, have you enjoyed any of those jokes?
I'm sure there were a few that I chuckled at.
Okay, I'll take it. See, people are chuckling, Ed. Huh. I'm sorry, Dana. We've wandered off course. That was a really good question. It made me think about things that I've never thought about before, and probably feel feelings I haven't really felt in a long time. So thank you for that.
Well, I'm sure you'll be moving right along.
I'm going to wallow in my feelings for just a little bit longer because I want to give you the floor so you can plug anything that you have coming up, follow you on social media, shows that you have coming up, really anything you want to talk about, the floor is yours.
Absolutely. So you can find us at nonstopbroadway.com. You can also find us on Facebook, of course. Yes, I'm an old man and I still use Facebook. You can also find us on Instagram and on Twitter, nonstopbway. I do have a bunch of shows coming up. Depending on exactly when this comes out, we'll see. I am actually in the middle of rehearsals for some Shakespeare right now. I'm doing the complete works of Shakespeare abridged right now with Poor York's Players, who I also work with quite a bit in the summertime. We've got that show coming up on August 27th through 29th out here in Monroeville, PA, so come and join us for that. In Pittsburgh, you can always find us at the Hard Rock Cafe. You can also find us, I hope, very soon, as soon as things open up completely, in Cleveland, Columbus, Duquesne, UPJ State College, and hopefully coming to a bar or theater or college near you.
That was very succinct. That was well done. That was a good yeah.
Almost like I get paid to do this sometimes.
Almost like
sometimes.
I'm all fired up now. I want to go to a show. Ed, do you want to go to a show?
I absolutely want to go to a show. I don't know if I'd be welcome because I only sing kind of okay. But
everyone is welcome.
Fantastic.
That is the key thing. I say this at the beginning of every show. Tonight, you will hear some people whose love for this music is far greater than their skill. We love them and we want to cheer them on. Please sing along with them. If they are having a tough time, sing louder, help them out, help them along. And we have brought many a karaoke virgin onto the stage in a very friendly fashion because we want them to know they are welcome with us. And it is not a scary thing. I have never seen anyone other than maybe Adam Wainwright in a joking way booed off of our stage. And probably only because he was asking specifically for it.
Challenge accepted.
Nice. And on that sentimental note, we're going to say goodbye. Dana, thanks for doing this again. And yeah, sincerely, it's just been great talking to you and getting a chance to catch up, honestly.
Thank you, gentlemen. It was great to see you again, Adam, and great to meet you officially, Ed.
Likewise, sir. Likewise.
Yeah, we hope we'll see you singing at a screen sometime soon.
Yes, sir.
Hey, listeners, I may be in trouble again. Dania doesn't know that I selected this song to be shared, but it was so brilliant and done right at the beginning of quarantine in 2020, and based on the topical theme of the recommendation I gave to Ed, I had to share. So here's Dana Babel singing Why We Build the Wall from Hadestown.
My children, and the war is never won. The enemy.
man, wasn't that just beautiful? Didn't you just enjoy hearing the popular sounds? Hold on. Hold the fuck on 1 second. So Ed isn't in control of me now, so I can talk to you, our listeners, for the real. I didn't get a chance to talk about assassins in our main segment, and I wanted to make sure there was a special shout out to Stephen Sondheim's Assassins right now. If you haven't listened to this musical, you're missing out. It's some bomb ass shit. That's the show you should go listen to. Ed can't hear this, so he can't stop me. I would continue naming musicals, but I think he's going to be back from peeing at any moment. And I just think, oh, hey, Ed, oh, yeah. Hey, we'd like to thank every one of you for joining us today and, you know, do all the fun stuff like liking us on social media and following us at Sung Poorly on Twitter and sending us an email at sungpoorly@gmail.com and subscribing to all the podcasts. See, Dad, welcome back, Ed.
Thanks, Adam.
Sure.
I'm so anxious to hear what I missed. One thing that I also missed
it was always
is,
just the boring, you know, I'm thanking everybody stuff, so don't worry about it.
Yeah. Another thing I miss is Ben Dumb, the musician who provides the theme song for our show. I don't see him often enough. So I want to thank him for use of the theme song, Gasoline. Make sure you check out either his latest project, the Ben Dumb 3, or previous projects, Ben Dumb and the Deviants, the Marauders. All of those are available on Spotify or other music platforms.
And if you could cast Ben Dumb in a musical, what would it be?
He's going to hate me for this, but I'm going to say that he would do a really great Harold Hill from the Musical Man. I could see him playing that role. I don't know, Ben. Let us know. I mean, I know you're not a musicals guy, but
Ben, I need to know.
Maybe we can make that happen.
I need to know what musical you would like to be in. Please send that to text Ed. Text me. I need to know. We'll share it with the group because that's. I need to know now. I was thinking he'd be a great Sweeney Todd, but yeah. Okay, you know what? In 2 weeks, you need to tune back in. You need to hear what musical Ben Dumb would be in. But more than anything, you need to listen in as we talk to someone living in the birthplace of karaoke to get a new perspective on all things karaoke. What does that mean? I have no idea. But we'll find out in 2 weeks, won't we? You know what? That's it. That's all. There is no more. So until next time, I'm Adam Wainwright.
I'm Ed Kennard.
And remember that singing off key is still technically singing. Lord, I am water.